Ladies and gentlemen, we're back sitting here at Hot Tongue, and I'm here to bring you a brand new episode of Pie to Pie from the Encore Sessions. That's right, straight out of room 2012, and we're bringing you a heater. This one with Nick from Toss and Fire, and Nick has a crazy story. For the amount of work that he is doing, Nick was just cool, casual. Man, I want that guy on my team. When I went downstairs to grab Nick to get to come up to the room, I went over to the roulette table, and let me tell you, my man had chips all over that table, so we know Nick is a big player. There's Nick, just balling out.
Balling!
Anyways, Nick's at the roulette table. I just tapped his shoulder and I said, I'll be over here. I did not want to mess with Nick's luck, dude. And let me tell you what Nick has done and what Nick has built and what he talks about and just his cool, calm collectiveness. It was just an awesome conversation. He was doing this thing during the pandemic, like pizza truck became the ice cream, or the ice cream truck became the pizza truck, and neighbors were like pre-ordering or like showing interest. And so these food trucks would show up in these neighborhoods and they were doing bigger numbers than they would get from a wedding. The creativity that he was doing, the trailer that he has at the concert venue. I don't know, there's just a lot you can do, and we get into all of that in his journey. Talk about dealing with change. Shout out Nick B, who's taking care of a lot of stuff over there at Toss and Fire. I know he's gonna like that shout out. Shout out Nick B. We talk about when you get far enough in your business, whether you have one or you have five units, putting a layer in between certain problems so that you are not dealing with every single thing in your shop, which I think is important, because you gotta have trusted people who are in there every day who can take care of those problems, the smaller ones, so that you can concentrate on the bigger ones. And what do they say? If you're spending time in your business, you're not working on your business. Man, I've been listening to some Howard Schultz podcasts, man. That's CEO of Starbucks, dude, and I'm getting learned. Anyways, I got learned in this episode. Toss and Fire. Nick was a pleasure to have on. I know y'all are going to enjoy this. Nick, thank you so much. Coming straight to you from the Encore Vegas Sessions, room 2012. Dude, also, Nick hit me with the deep cut. I would consider myself like a fairly musical man, but I had never heard of Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness. But shout out Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness. Toss and Fire. Enjoy this episode. Let's go. Pardon the interruption, but we need to take some time to mention our sponsor, Maestro Sausage. Maestro has been working closely with pizzerias for decades. They produce sausages designed specifically with pizzerias in mind. And you can tell, their Italian sausage crumbles look like they were handmade in your shop, and they will taste that way as well. With over 80 years in business, family owned and operated, the family is incredible, and so is their product. It's quality sausage with quality ingredients. If your sausage needs aren't hitting all the right notes, then let Maestro lead the way. Click the link in the show notes. A classical masterpiece awaits you. Back to the show. This started out as a food truck, right?
Yeah, so it was a trailer. We had a little pull behind trailer. It was breadstone ovens in Texas. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of them? Yeah. So it was a little trailer from them. It had this little tiny oven. We could fit like, I don't know, 5 or 6 10-inch pies in it. And I would go around, like I started that, and I just like did anything and everything that I could to.
What were you pulling that trailer around with?
Just a Ram truck.
Nice.
Like my personal truck.
Fuck yeah.
Basically, yeah.
I wanted to say top the Rockies, but that's Coors Light.
Yeah.
That is,
yeah.
What is the Ram? What is the Ram?
Oh God. Isn't it like Built Tough or
yeah.
something? Or
like, well, yeah. Isn't that yeah. Built Ford Tough?
Oh, maybe that's Ford. And I was like, what's the food truck scene like in Syracuse? You know, I started to research, and I was like, there's no pizza trucks. There was zero. And in Connecticut, there's a zillion. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but like, there's like the Big Green pizza truck, and then like every pizzeria has like a truck, and they just do, even if they don't do wood fire pizza or anything, they like will have a wood fire pizza truck.
Yeah.
And they'll use it for catering parties and stuff. And like, I remember driving down like the main road and just seeing like pizzeria, pizza truck. Like, it was crazy. So did some research, found out that Syracuse didn't have, one, much of a food truck scene, but two, really any pizza, like no mobile pizza in Syracuse. There was some stuff like you know, 45 or an hour away. So I spent like 6 months to a year just like researching like different ovens and trailers and all that kind of stuff. And like, I went with Breadstone, not because of like, I was like, this is the best oven. It was just like a price thing. Like it was, you know, I had no money. And I was like, I ended up, like I put the whole business on a credit card.
Sick.
And started the whole thing. And like, that was.
So the whole truck went on a credit card?
Yeah. So like I leased a pickup truck and I started a corporation and I was able to get a business credit card because I had decent credit.
Yeah.
So like I like screwed my whole credit at that point after I did that. But
it seems like the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if you ask, you know, like a business coach, they're gonna tell you like this is definitely what you should do.
Yeah, they would say, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I bought this trailer and I was like still working at Panera and I was like, I'm gonna do this on the side. It's gonna be like a little thing. And
was that hard for a hard decision for you and your wife to make? Because like some I think sometimes like money or like not having funds is kind of like what freaks everybody out. Yeah. But like if you have the opportunity and you can get a credit line and to take that leap, was that something that scared the shit out of you?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. We had our first kid like in February. I started the business in April.
Oof, so like, two babies at the same time.
It was crazy. Like it was like, I mean, she was incredibly supportive for what I did. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, thinking back on it, it's like, it was bonkers that we were like, you know, and I was just like, so I quit Panera. I ended up quitting Panera because like we were doing stuff and like we were turning down things because I was still working. And I was like, if we're going to do it, like, let's just do it. And like, I can get a kitchen job or a assistant manager job with my experience if like this fails and I lose everything.
Yeah.
So I kind of went into it like, I'm just going to try it and see what happens. So we did it and I almost went bankrupt the first year.
Because it was slow.
No, I mean, like it was fine, but it's a seasonal business in Syracuse. The weather gets way too cold. So, you know, you're lucky if you're out March or April until like October.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were in the elements, like we had a tent with a truck behind it, you know, and with the oven there. So like we had to set up a tent and like if it's raining and windy and all that kind of stuff, it just didn't work right,
you
know, for those elements. So, and I tried to get a job over the winter and like, because I was planning to continue the business, like I would tell people it was like a temporary thing and nobody wanted to hire me and I should have just lied, but I didn't. But luckily in year two, I ended up getting a crazy opportunity from someone I worked with in the pizza shop back in Connecticut who was in the same business as me. They had a couple of wood-fired trailers and they were like, hey, do you have any interest in this trailer? And I was like, I would love it, but like, I can't afford it. And they're like, well, you can buy it from us and you can pay us monthly for it. They were like, well, we'll finance you directly. Like no credit, no nothing. Just send us a check for, I think it was like $600 a month. And we ended up buying a second trailer that was enclosed. It was a little more out of the elements.
Yeah.
And we were able to like, we were really at the beginning of like a really big food truck explosion in Syracuse. So like current day Syracuse, there's over 100 food trucks.
Yeah.
And there was less than 10 at the time.
And this is in 2015, 2014?
This was, so 2015 I started and 2016 I got the second trailer. And then that summer, you know, we kind of hodgepodged running two trailers when we were still kind of figuring out how to run one. And like I would like drop a trailer off at one event and then go get the other trailer and go to another event. And like, you know, eventually people learned how to tow and,
yeah,
you know, that all worked out. But it was definitely messy for a while.
And now you have three trailers or
so we have three food trucks. Yeah.
So you got rid of the trailers?
Got rid of the trailers. I sold my original trailer last year to a friend up in Buffalo who does wood fire pizza. And, you know, we bought our first like actual food truck in 2019, and kind of went from there. Like it was, you know, we had demand for two trucks basically at all, like this whole time, since we had two at the second year we were in business.
Yeah.
The third was just kind of like this opportunity came across. Another friend that I knew in the business was getting rid of his truck and was moving from Maryland to Florida and he wanted to sell it off. And it was like built by the same people that built my other trucks and was just kind of too good of a deal. So like we like really operate two trucks and we have a third truck where we will send out on like weekends for like weddings and stuff.
Yeah.
When it's busy, like it's, you know, it's not like 6 days a week. We have three trucks going out. It just depends like what the requests are and stuff.
When did you open your brick and mortar? Because you have three brick and mortars, or you have a satellite location?
Two and a half. Yeah. So the first restaurant
is pretty wild growth.
Yeah.
In 2015 to by 2019, 2020, you have three trucks and a brick and mortar.
So in 2020, we opened the second location. So 2016, we opened our first location. So we had operated a summer with this second truck, right? Or the second trailer.
Okay. Did you do a full build out? The space that I've seen is beautiful.
So you're probably looking at the Camillus location, I'm guessing.
It's really big. Seems big.
They have Instagram. orange seats.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the first location, I used to drive by this pizza shop. It was half the building was a pizza shop. The other half was a Chinese restaurant. And I noticed that like they weren't open like randomly, like they would be open on Tuesday afternoon and then on Friday night they were closed. And I was like, what's going on with this place? And I was really looking for a commissary kitchen. I needed like a hub to be able to run the trailers like effectively, to be able to prep. I was like renting space and sharing space and like making dough in a 20 quart mixer. Like it was just
wild.
It was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous to be able to be making, to be splitting up a bag of Caputo flour into like three batches of dough in a 20 quart mixer, or two if you were lucky, but really three. You know, and cooking bacon for toppings, and it just wasn't the right thing. So we saw this space. I had met a real estate friend in the area, like a commercial real estate friend, and I called him and he was like, "Oh, I know the landlord. Let me make a call and see." And it turned out the guy like wasn't paying his rent and it was like was just randomly closing. And he's like, so the next day I met the landlord and the real estate guy, and he was like, "It's yours. It's got a mixer, a walk-in cooler, refrigerators,
everything,
Baker's Pride deck oven. So all I had to do was put a wood fire oven in. And like some cosmetics.
Yeah.
So I got into that like really cheap. Like it was like a dream scenario. Like most of the stuff was there. It was all included in the rent. Rent was like $1,500 a month. Like it was.
Is it still $1,500?
No, because now we have the whole building.
The double, yeah.
Yeah. So the couple years later, the restaurant next to us closed and they were about to lease it to a T-Mobile.
And you're like,
fuck that. I was like, no, like let's talk. I want to like put in a dining room and do beer and wine. And, you know, so we did that. That was in 2018. We had the couple food trucks going, or probably still trailers at the time. And fast forward to COVID, like COVID happened. I had the one store and I had the two food trucks. I had a food truck and a trailer at the time. COVID like was obviously terrifying. I was like, okay, we're takeout only now.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose all my weddings are canceling. I do a lot of big concerts and stuff. Those are all canceled. Like just like madness. Like, it ended up being like crazy busy. Like we were doing insane. There was just this really big movement to support local restaurants and to get takeout. And all of a sudden, you know, we were doing more volume than we were doing pre-pandemic.
Yeah, you had your best year ever.
And it was crazy, right? So during all of that, with the food trucks though, so like the restaurant was really busy with the food trucks. We were trying to figure out what we could do and what we couldn't do. And it was like, it was just really weird. But at the same time, we started doing something, we called it driveway service. Mm-hmm. So we would go and like park in somebody's driveway. And like, we would say, okay, we'll come to your neighborhood, but you'd have to talk to your neighbors and make sure you've got enough people to order like 80. We do like 10-inch pizzas on the trucks, right?
Damn, it's like the ice cream man, but the pizza man.
Basically.
That's dope.
And are you familiar with Street Food Finder at all?
Yeah, I know what it is.
So Street Food Finder like basically saved the entire Syracuse food truck market. Like all the trucks, so I was like the first one to do it. And then all of the other trucks in the area started doing driveway services. And then like the good neighborhoods would have like multiple food trucks throughout the week, and they were supporting these food trucks. Like it was nuts. And some of the volume numbers were like the same as a large wedding or a big concert or, you know, whatever it is, like depending on how big the neighborhood was and how much they were like willing to, you know, support these trucks. So that kind of got us through the pandemic until things loosened.
Yeah.
And then once things loosened, like we were just kind of back to what we were doing and rock and rolling.
Yeah.
But the so the second restaurant location happened during the pandemic in 2020. There was like a the place that you probably saw the pictures of.
Yeah.
It used to be a like a Mexican restaurant, like a like kind of like a Chipotle knockoff, but it was local.
Mm-hmm. Qdoba.
And it was all like everything was there again. It was like, okay, you can have the hood, you can have the walk-in cooler. Like obviously they didn't have mixers and stuff because it was a Mexican place.
Yeah.
But the whole layout of the restaurant was already there. All we did was change the colors, and we you know painted and added artwork, and so we kind of walked into this.
How far away was it from the last the other location?
It's about 20 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
From the other location. Yeah. So we opened that one during the pandemic, and I like, you know, that was probably one of the biggest gambles we took because it was like we had no idea what was going to happen. And that first winter was brutal. Like it was really busy when we opened, and then like restrictions came back.
Yeah, because everyone had to go inside.
Yeah, and everything got like got kind of crazy. And then once we got through the winter, it was busy, and then that kind of was on its trajectory.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that one opened in 2020, and the satellite location that we opened is it's basically like a fake food truck. It's like an aluminum, like one of our food trucks.
Just like a stationary
food truck. There's an oven and refrigeration, and that's like the whole setup.
Yeah.
And like some storage in the back. And that we opened earlier this year. And it was just like so I'm like a part owner in the concept, like the bar that it's like a beer garden kind of place, right? That had food trucks. Problem they were running into is that they couldn't get food trucks during the winter in Syracuse because
that's how cold it is.
It's just too cold. There's not enough of them operating. They're not doing enough business because people don't want to wait outside in lines and all this kind of stuff. So that kind of turned into why don't we open up like a little thing inside, you know, put this like fake food truck up and get an oven and do our thing. And it happened. We like put it together in like a month. Like, it was crazy. It was just, and like, you know, I mean, I think we don't know if it's going to be successful yet, but like it's so far it's been good.
Yeah. Well, will you not know until the winter?
Probably like getting through a year.
I would say the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, like I think the summer is going to be like as soon as like the weather's nice, people are chilling outside there.
Yeah.
It's a lot busier right now. It's very like event driven. So if they have a special event, place is packed. They don't have a special event. There's nobody there.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of third party delivery or anything?
So we do a little bit of it in the other stores. I haven't even started doing it in this new location.
Yeah.
And we're really close to Syracuse University. So like there's probably a really big market there for it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to eventually happen. I'm just trying to like see if I can live in a world where I don't have to do it.
Yeah. Don't we all want to live in that world?
I just hate it. Like, yeah. It's just brutal.
Was it always the goal to grow the way you have? Like that trajectory is pretty crazy going from, you know, Panera to buying a food trailer to like, you know, 5 years later having multiple units.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, it's all kind of been every step. I feel like it's been like, okay, well, this is a really cool opportunity. Should we do this? And like, I've probably turned down more opportunities than I've done, even though it seems like I've done so many things. It's like, it's been crazy the things that have kind of come my way, which is I'm obviously very thankful for. You know, I think like when I opened the second location, I was like, I'm not opening a third location. I don't want to do this. And like this situation was very different. And like it was like almost like too good to pass up on. And I was like, we only had to sign like a 1 year lease to see if it would work. And like it's basically costing us nothing to do it. Like it was just, so I was like, let's just try it and see if we can do that. And it definitely was not the plan to be like, we're going to have this like massive thing. It just kind of was like, we did one thing. Okay. The next thing made sense. We're going to do the next thing. Okay. Are we handling this? Sometimes we feel like we are and it's great. And sometimes we're like, oh my God, this is a shit show. How can we like rein it back in and get it under control? And like, I mean, I'm fortunate that I have really great people. And
I was gonna say, how many people are on the team?
So my total, like during food truck season, will be between like 60 to 70 or 80 people total. Damn. Between everything.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of varies. There's a lot of part-timers, a lot of like, I have a lot of people, I have like a teacher who works for me who like will work in the summer and like then just is a teacher during the year. And I have like college kids who come and work the food truck season for us and high school kids. And, you know, so I have like these like people who have worked for us for years on and off, like come do a season and then go work their other job, come do another season and help out and, or pick up shifts or.
And does do those schedules vary? Like, are you way more like staffed up, obviously, during summer than you would be in winter?
Yeah.
Even though you're like open year round?
Yeah. I mean, there's way more people. We need way more people. So in order to do, like, if we're going to have three trucks out on like Saturday, there's pretty much always three trucks out all season or most of the season. So like we need a lot more people to be able to effectively run that.
Yeah.
Right? And depending on the event sizes and like, you know, sometimes at like a big concert. So we do these concerts at like at an amphitheater that we have there. It like seats like or it fits 20,000 people.
Yeah.
For like a big concert that's like sold out, we need 7 or 8 people to work that concert. You know, but if we had a catering, we might only need 3.
How did you get into that?
So back in 2016, this was the main reason that I wanted that second trailer.
Mm-hmm.
They built this place the year before, and in 2016 it was going to be their first season. They reached out to the local food trucks, and like there was only a handful of them, and basically said, "We want you to be part of this. Like, we want to put you as part of like our proposal that we're going to put forth to the county to be able to get the contract for this." And I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing. We'd love to, obviously, you know, go to this thing. So it's through Aramark. We have like a contract through Aramark, and we're one of like, I think there's like 7 or 8 vendors that do this venue. And we've been there since 2016. And, you know, that's kind of how we got into it. And there's like 20 to 25 shows a year usually. And like they vary. Like sometimes a show will only be a couple thousand people. Or sometimes a show, it'll be a sold out 20,000 person show.
So who's playing there?
So this year, like Kenny Chesney, Hoyer.
I was like, hell yeah.
Willie Nelson's coming. We got like Zach Brown Band. So the country shows do the best there.
Yeah.
Because of the demographic of the area supports the country. The country shows the most. But I mean, there's been Imagine Dragons have played there. There's just like huge. They get like
big. It's like half big names of them coming.
Are big names.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all big names.
Yeah.
But it's like James Taylor's playing. James Taylor's only gonna probably be like 8,000 to 10,000 people.
James Taylor should be packing that place.
Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, I'm excited because he came a couple years ago and he was awesome. REO Speedwagon usually plays there, or every couple years they come back and they're awesome.
Well, that's a pretty sick gig to have.
It's
to
like
have
my
that
favorite
in your back
part.
Pocket. Yeah. When you make those decisions, like you kind of said that you've had a lot of opportunity, mm-hmm. like do you have a scale that you weigh things on, or is a discussion with, do you have partners? Is a discussion with your wife? Like what's.
So I don't have any partners, but I have like key people. So my father-in-law, like I'll talk to my father-in-law. I'll talk to my wife about it. I have a manager, Nick B, who's been with me forever. Like he started when he was 16 years old.
Shout out Nick B.
And he's going to love that when he hears this, but, like I'll bounce ideas off of them. And I'll kind of like, all right, hey, is this a good idea? Is this like an insane idea? And like, usually they can like ground me a little bit if I tend to be like, hey, we should do this and we should like double this and we should go, you know, we should start doing chicken wings and on the trucks. And I don't know, like just sometimes my ideas can be a little outlandish that don't make sense. And like, I need to be reined back a little bit.
What is the worst idea that you followed through with?
I did do chicken wings on the truck first.
Was that a bad idea?
It was a
terrible idea.
Well, because like we can put out pizzas really fast, right? We can pump out. It's a limited menu. They're 10-inch individual pizzas. Like it's so when I built my first like actual food truck, I put a fryer in it mm-hmm. and I put like a hood and we did this whole thing. And I think we did chicken wings like 6 times. And I was like, this is terrible. We're never doing this again.
Yeah.
And I took them off the truck, and I still have this fryer sitting in the truck taking up space that we stopped using like in 2020.
Just a reminder, though.
Yeah. I actually think I'm ripping it out this year. Yeah, I think I'm ripping it out this year so we can just throw a table or storage or something there.
Do you have like an operations manager and like an HR department and so your own in-house shit?
I
don't have
like an app. I use like an app for HR basically. It's a company called Bambi. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but we use them for HR. I did hire this year, I hired a director of operations, someone I've known since I moved to Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And he spent like 20 something years with Longhorn. So a lot of corporate experience, a lot of like multi-unit experience.
Yeah.
So he's been with me for a couple months now. He's kind of transitioning into this. We like created this role. Like we were like, okay, if we're going to like be doing these multiple things all the time, like somebody has to be handling this aspect. Someone has to handle this aspect. Like there's just too many. There's just too many things at once. Like, you know, I can't be getting a call about the restaurant having a burst pipe. Like someone needs to be there handling it. Like obviously if there's like a major issue, you know, call me. But like, so I wanted to put like a layer. I'm still actively doing this, but I'm trying to put like a layer in between
you and the problems.
Me and the and all of the problems.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you know there's always a problem.
Of course.
There's always, you know, Sally doesn't like working with Susie and there's this, you know, and there's like this petty stuff. And like, I don't know if petty is the right word, but just like this, like,
I know what you mean.
Bullshit. There's just this bullshit that it's like, okay, like I don't need to be involved with this bullshit.
Like sometimes you don't even want to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's better when you don't know. Yeah. Especially when you have employees that are like dating each other and like that goes awry. We've like that's happen. The stuff I'm like, I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that happen. You know, which is very common in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, it's how I met my wife.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Shout out my wife. Yep. What's up, Jack?
But yeah, so you know, we're kind of. I feel like we're going over like a hump right now. We're kind of like, okay, we're gonna have this position, this director of operations position. We're gonna have someone. So Nick B is transitioning into a new role where he's in charge of the food truck and catering operation as kind of like a buffer between like I still do the food trucks. Like that's my passion. Mm-hmm. Like I love doing the food trucks. I love going to a concert, to a wedding, to a fair, seeing different people, meeting different people. Like that's like when I'm like working, like I'm gonna make pizzas. I'm on the food truck making pizzas usually.
So how often are you in the shop?
Before we opened the satellite, look, I've been in the satellite location for the last like 3 months, like just kind of getting it open and, and figuring out like prep levels and systems and all of these things. But so I've been in that shop for like 3 to 4 days a week. And then the rest of my time is just like administrative kind of, you know, dealing with everything else that has to happen.
So real quick, going back to the operations manager, was that like another tough decision? Because like I've never gotten to that level yet. Mm-hmm. I hope to scale at some point, but knowing when to have enough work for somebody, you know, and you know, we have so much work right now, but after this is sorted out, what are we going to have them do? Yeah. And it's like, you know, when did you feel like, yo, was there a breaking point or it's like, we needed to pull the trigger. Like we need somebody doing this. We need a district manager. We need all this policy.
Ooh, we want the vegan meats. We want the vegan cheeses.
Are people coming up to you and asking you, do you have vegan options? Do you have vegan meats? Well, guess what? A lot of them are not that good, but there is one that reigns superior, and that is Beehive. Everything that they make at Beehive is levels ahead of what you can get in a grocery store. Their pepperoni, their crumbled sausage, their cheeses, there is no contest. And the owner is one of the coolest people I have ever met. They make incredible products that go on your pizza, and it is dope plant food. That's what they call it, and that's what it is. Beehive, the best. Look no further. It's Beehive, baby. Straight out of Nashville, good people, great product. Check them out.
The idea kind of came when, so my father-in-law is like semi-retired now. It was like, okay, at the end of the year, I'm going to like he was running the second location. Mm-hmm. That was his kind of location. He was running it. He was handling basically everything for it. Like I didn't have to deal with it. I didn't have to step in there. So he was getting ready to retire, semi-retire. And that was like, that was the point where I was like, okay, I think we need to bring in somebody who like can kind of juggle both stores. So he's kind of in charge of the two stores. This third store wasn't even like a conversation at that point. It just like ended up happening in between hiring him and like him transitioning into it. So yeah, it was like last year. I was like, okay, like it's time. We need to like, there's some things that need to start happening. Like there's some more like we're always going to be a small independent business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but there's also so many different pieces of this that if we don't make it more corporate-y, like streamlined, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always like, okay, how do we make sure you're getting the same pizza when you go to Camillus, when you go to North Syracuse, when you go to a food truck? You know, how do we make sure that the sauce is perfect? Like, you can give recipes to people, but they don't follow the recipe. It's not going to be right. So how do you handle like those quality control issues?
Consistency, yeah.
Consistency. They're using the right amount of cheese. Just, you know, like we use scoops now for the cheeses. Yeah. That was something we started like, I don't know. I think it's probably been like 2 years now, but, and people were so apprehensive about it. And it was like,
hate change, dude.
Yeah, well, any change.
Yeah.
Which I've definitely found out over the last few months. But, you know, I can make the pizza perfect every time. I've been making pizzas forever. And that's great. You do a great job. But you're not the only person who makes pizzas, right?
Well, and you say, you look them in the face and you say, well, you don't pay for the cheese.
Exactly. Which gets extremely expensive all the time. Like we're a grande house. We use grande for everything. And it's damn, absurd.
Big name drop right there. You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't cheap.
It is not cheap.
Especially when it's on the ground.
Yeah. Or next to the pizza on the counter
yeah.
and gets swept into the garbage. Yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
what are you doing with that?
That's my retirement plan.
Or they take the bucket of cheese and they don't empty it out all the way when they switch it to
a new, I know. You don't scrape it out.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. You got cheese in there. I know. Because
it all adds up.
It does. I mean, it all adds up.
I feel like people like a change like that, you might hate right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then 3 months later, they're like, I kind of like these cups.
Yeah. And it's so much more consistent across the board.
Uh-huh, of course.
You know, and I use it for every pie I make.
You use diced?
Shredded.
You do shredded?
Shredded, yeah. And then we have like fresh for like margaritas and stuff.
But, yeah. Do you make your own fresh mozzarella with their curd?
No, I buy the
nice.
I buy the stuff. It's
I mean, that'd be a lot of curd, I'm sure.
It would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've looked into it before and it's a really good product.
Yeah. No doubt.
They sell a really good product and it works.
I just like a little extra salt, you know?
Yeah. I get that.
Let me ask you a really important question.
Okay.
Who has better pizza, Connecticut or New York?
Ouch. I have to say Connecticut because I grew up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respect to that.
Yeah. I have to say. I mean, I just.
Is that where you had your best slice of your life?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's like all the famous places, right? But like my favorite places are not the famous places in New Haven, right?
Of course.
In my hometown, it's from Milford. My hometown, my favorite pizzeria is a place called Jimmy's. He was like involved with like Zupardi's when they were first opened, and then he went and did his own thing. It's a very similar pizza. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Jimmy's is I've never had a pie that good.
Yeah.
I eat pizza all the time. So I try it everywhere I go. Anywhere I travel, I go get pizza. It's my favorite. There's a bunch of other places in the area that are just amazing. There's amazing pizza in New York. Obviously, there's amazing pizza in New York City.
Yeah.
There's amazing pizza in Syracuse. There's it's so subjective. There's so many, you know, everyone has their favorite characteristics and styles and all of that. So.
Yeah, but Connecticut has the best pizza.
I would have to agree.
Okay.
I would have to, that all would right. be my, that's going to be my quote.
Why Woodfire? Was there romance? Was there a reason? Is it your favorite kind of pizza?
So I never worked with or made. I never made Woodfire pizza prior to opening my business.
That's crazy.
I didn't. I knew nothing about it. I just spent a year researching it, trying like making dough at home and trying to figure out how to do it. Like so, I did Woodfire because those were the trucks and trailers that I was like aware of
yeah.
in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know of many like other kind of styles of pizza being done mobile. And there were obviously like there's companies like Fire Within selling these trailers. Like, that was one of the ones I was researching at the time. Mm-hmm. There were all these different companies selling these mobile kind of all-in-one units, right? That's how it ended up happening. I was like trying out different ovens. I was trying to make stuff at home. I was actually making it at home. There's this thing called a Baker Stone box. I don't even know if they still make them, but like basically it was like a square or rectangle pizza stone mm-hmm. that was encased in metal, and you would like pop it on your grill.
Yeah, they still make those.
They still make them. Yeah. So this was like way before like the Uni and the Gosney days yeah. and stuff.
I know it's crazy how far those have come.
It's insane. I'm gonna pick up a Gosney for my backyard.
I just got an Arc, and yeah. it's like I'm blown away.
Yeah, they're amazing. And I know a lot of people who use them or have them now. One of my buddies that's like about an hour away from me has just built a new truck with two Gosneys in it.
And yeah, I talked to a restaurant, Naughty Pie Nature, and they just put two Gosney domes underneath the hood, and yep. that's how they're running their show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I used to make pizzas on that thing at my house. I would take 45 minutes of propane to heat the thing up and get it, you know, it was never getting wood fire temperature, but it was as hot as
I could.
And I was messing around with doughs and sauces and cheeses and combinations and all these things at home.
Were you always using 00 flour?
Yeah. I started with double O flour. Yeah.
What are you using today?
I'm still using okay. 00. Yeah.
Caputo?
Yep. Okay. And we use Caputo for Blue Bag for the wood fire, and we use the Americana for like our Detroits and stuff nice. In the restaurants.
That's a great flour.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm doing it at home and I'm messing around on the grill, and I'm like, I bought this trailer with a wood fire oven, and then I was like, okay, now I gotta figure out how to transition this.
You sound like a little bit of a psychopath, dude. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
When I say it does sound that way.
Yeah, like listening to the story, it's like you've explained everything so casually.
Yeah.
And like I've looked at the restaurants, I've looked at like the branding's really like everything's really tight.
Thank you.
It's like it seems very clean, mm-hmm. very cleaned up, very well, like a well run, mm-hmm. beautiful, clean restaurant. But it's just so casual. Like I want to, there doesn't seem to be a tinge of regret, remorse or pain in any, and that's a lot of restaurants.
So when I think about all of this, I think that we've done so much and like made moves that we've made because I like to gamble.
I saw you downstairs. And I came over to the table. This dude had, I don't know, I was like, a lot of chips were on the table. I was like, what's up, baller?
And I think that was part of like, okay, we're going to take this opportunity and we're going to try this out and see yeah. what happens, right? And fortunately it's worked out, like, but it easily couldn't have at various points.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely aware of that. I'm definitely like, okay, like that was a close one. I'm glad that worked out. Like, you know.
And do you stress out a lot?
I do.
Do you stress?
I do.
You seem like a super relaxed guy.
I do. I mean, I'm. You know, I think I've learned that like, not everything is the end of the world.
100%.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing to learn.
And that took me a while.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, this is not the end of the world. We can figure out how to adjust to this. We can make a plan. There's so many things that have happened over the years. It's like, all right, the generator died in the middle of the biggest event of the year. Oh, great. Cool. How are we going to fix that? All right, well, this is where you can rent generators, and this is where you can do this, and these are the things you can do to try to troubleshoot it to fix it. The guy who's driving the truck just took the window off because he didn't see something when he was backing up, and he ripped the window off the truck. All right, cool. We can call A, B, or C to see if they can fix it for us.
Yeah.
You know, and like there's so many things that have happened, and like we've had to pivot and figure it out, and I think that makes you a better business owner, like the more you get to do it and like be like, okay, this is how we fix this problem. Obviously, I'm sure this year I'm going to have new problems that I don't know how to fix, and we're going to have to figure them out. It's been an insane, insane kind of ride. And like, you know, I could totally just be like a general manager at Panera right now instead of doing this. But
I know, and I guess I think so too. It's crazy because, you know, it's only a couple decisions that kept you from not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you had a house, you had a job, mm-hmm. you could have stayed there, yeah. but like just a few minor choices mm-hmm. has led to what I would call, you know, you have a chain. You anything bigger than two is a chain. Like, yeah. you know, I know that's a bad word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like, you've built a bit of an empire.
I don't like to use the word empire, but like I mean I think yeah.
Why not, dude? I love Star Wars. Yeah, dude, Empire Strikes Back, motherfucker. Yeah.
I mean it's I'm fully aware of like how blessed I am and how awesome this has been, and like I'm super psyched to like keep doing it and growing the brand, and like, you know, It's just
well, crazy. I like love what you said about like all those things that can happen, the window coming off, somebody breaking some shit. Like you've been through probably so much at this point that there's no time to be angry about it. There's no time to point fingers.
Yeah.
It's now time to, when something happens, let's figure it out.
Yeah,
everything's figure it outable.
Yeah.
Like Bruce from SPN.
Shirt. I bought that shirt from Bruce.
It's a great shirt. I used it yesterday when I was talking to my sister. Yeah, yeah, shout out big Bruce, baby. Yeah. But you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it, I think it takes a while because you kind of got to get hit in the face so many times you can have the zen that you do sitting across from me. You know, I know there's horror stories that we're not going to talk about. You've been through, you can't open as many things that you have. You can't have 60 plus employees and not have nightmares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the only way you probably sleep at night is because you've been through so many of them that you know there's no boogeyman underneath the bed. There's just another problem to solve.
You're going to get most of the time you're going to get through what you need to get through to get to the other side of it. I mean, I think I'm better at it now, but I take things very personal.
Yeah.
And like, I can remember opening the first store, and we opened our first store. This is probably the dumbest thing I ever did, even though it's successful. I opened across the street from like the biggest pizza concept in Syracuse. They have like, they've been around for like 50 years.
You're a psychopath, dude. I knew it, dude. You're a psycho, dude.
And people are like, they're never going to survive. They're not going to make it. And like our style of pizza are so good. It's like a pan pizza. They cut it in strips. It's like people have been eating it for 50 years. You either like it or you like something else.
Yeah.
You know? And I think so my mindset was, why can't we coexist across the street? We're doing wood fire artisan pizza.
Like, yeah.
This is such a different thing.
Yeah.
You know? But I remember the first couple times, like the people writing the bad reviews, and like this guy saying, I cannot wait to watch this place close.
Oh,
I would not recommend it to my worst enemy. And I went home and I was like on the couch and I was like, I want to fucking close. This sucks. Like, this is just like, we're working so hard, trying so hard to put out a good product and like figuring out all these new things that we're doing. Like, and systems, and like we were starting from scratch. Like, we were running a food truck, we weren't running a restaurant, and it took years. And I changed things. I'll probably go and change something tomorrow because like you have to be willing to change your the way you do something or your mindset or figure out how to do something better. There's systems, there's tools, there's apps, there's just so many things that you can do to run a better operation. And I try to be as open as I can to all of it. But I mean, I've definitely had those moments that I'm just like, oh my God, what are we doing? Like,
yeah, but you worked through that, right? And that's a successful store now.
Yeah, no, it's our best performing store.
Is that other pizzeria across the street still there?
Oh yeah, they're crushing it. And they're slammed every day.
See,
you know?
Well, I find like, especially pizza, there was, you know, like a big boom in Los Angeles, but I feel like pizza, like when you're comparing like a pan pizza or cutting it into strips to a wood fire, to a New York style slice shop, like you can have pizza on every corner, just like a Starbucks, because it's going to hit different if it's done different. Yeah. Everyone's using the same shit, you know, but everyone's doing it different.
Yeah.
It's just, the comment though, and the audacity of some people to say, I can't wait for somebody to close. Oh, like, man,
brutal.
those are like, that's piercing to somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I've probably told that story like 100 times.
Yeah, because it affects you. I mean, it's probably traumatic.
I'll never forget it. You know, and I'm like, who is this guy to like, you know,
to like affect you like
why
that?
Does it care? Why does he care about some business so much that he has gotta go and bash him at that level? Like, it's just nuts.
We'd have to get into that guy's head, and I have a feeling we don't want it.
No, I definitely
don't want to get in that man's head.
Yeah.
Do you read your Yelp reviews?
I do.
Yeah.
I read them all. I read everything. I mean, I I actually made, I was listening to a podcast a few months ago. It was with, that Bruce did with Pizza Bruno.
Mm-hmm. I've met that place. It is great.
Go there. It's amazing. But I was listening to it and he was talking about how he went on Reddit and looked himself up and I had never done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on Reddit and I searched us and I was like, I really regret doing this. Like, and it was mostly fine, but there were a couple and they were just bashing us. And I was like, okay, well, I'm done with that. And I haven't looked at it since, but I read them all, you know, and we respond to them. Like I have someone who responds to them as they come in and stuff, whether they're good or bad. And like, you know, we can always try to make things right the best we can. Sometimes people just don't like the style of pizza.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And like, I have 100% accepted that.
Yeah.
You know, some people just want that really, really crispy pizza, and that's not what Woodfire Pizza is. Yeah.
What about your social media? Do you run that?
So I have a photographer who does all of our photos. This guy, Dennis, who's, in my opinion, like the best in the area. He's incredible. I run the socials. Like, I'll do the posts and stuff.
Yeah.
So over the years, I've hired people to do it, and it's been one of these things. I've let a lot of things go. I've let people take things off my plate and do, you know, you're going to do X and you're going to do Y. And every time I've tried to have someone else do my social media, I have been let down every single time.
Yeah.
And I finally just decided, like, I'm going to use this person who's going to make great, who's going to do, create great visual content for us. And then I'm just going to do the actual. So like, I'll use like Hootsuite and I'll like, program out my posts for like my posts for all of March are already programmed out.
Yeah.
And I can usually do that in like an hour or two and just program it out for a month. And
so the content is created by somebody else,
yeah,
like the pictures and stuff, but you are doing the actual posting.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah. What advice would you give to yourself like in 2014?
I mean, try to worry less, try to see the whole picture instead of just like the issue you're dealing with. Cause it was really hard for me for a really long time to be like, to get through the issue, whatever the issue may be, you know? But as we've grown, I feel like our issues have gotten crazier and like, so like the things that I worried about then, it's like a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that's not a big deal. Like we can handle that. We can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is probably try not to take everything so personal of what people are saying about you and what, like, I mean, everybody has an opinion, right?
Yeah.
And people have very strong opinions about their pizza everywhere, every market, anywhere you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best pizza is thrown around like crazy.
Well, we all know the best pizza's in Connecticut.
I did say that, yeah. That's gonna haunt me now forever. It's great. It's perfect.
I'll make sure it does. Yeah.
They're gonna be like owner of Sauce Empire said Connecticut has better pizza than the state he operates his business in.
That's true.
Yeah. I do think it's all good and bad and whatever it is in its own way.
Yeah. You know, I agree. You know, the best of anything doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
Everything is subjective. You know, you might like strips of pizza that you've been eating for 50 years. It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
Right. You might like the new restaurant that opened down the street. You might, you know, it's just everybody.
I mean, I have like an LG like television that I love. Mm-hmm. I think it has the cleanest picture.
Yeah.
It's a nice ass TV.
Yeah.
But my dad thinks that his Vizio is better.
Yep.
And it's like, pops,
yep,
come on.
Yep.
But hey.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that had nothing to do with pizza, but I'm just saying anything can be argued over, you know?
Yeah. No,
it's just what people like.
Yeah. You feel strongly about it.
It's weird that we like always feel obligated to argue about what we like and try to get somebody to agree with us instead of just being like, that's cool that you like
that. That's cool that you like that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that's cool that you like that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Conversation over.
Yep. Yep.
Let's talk about something that matters.
Yeah, that is very, very common, like, thing that happens all the time. I mean,
that's the internet.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. And it makes people, there's no fear because you can just hide behind your screen.
Yeah.
And you can say anything you want. You can
be like, I can't wait till you close. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? As you sit on your fucking couch doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, dude. I got my final question.
Okay.
All right. Who is the greatest artist or band of all time?
Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness.
Oh, my God. I love when the answer is so quick.
Yeah. Not even a question.
All right.
Yeah. Favorite band. Been following them forever. Been to like 100 shows. Not that many. 70.
Damn.
Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah. Well, did you go on tour with them? Or
I wish. Someday. I do a big food truck festival in Syracuse called the Food Truck Battle. And we do, like, we'll have, like, between 50 and 60 food trucks, and there's like a competition, and like we like put this, the local food truck association puts this thing together, and I booked them to headline it last year, and it was like the coolest fucking experience of my life. I got to
introduce Did you meet him and stuff?
Yeah, I got to introduce him to the stage, and
damn,
like, it was super dope. I was hanging out with like one of his like tour mates and shit.
They always say never meet your heroes. Yeah. Was it not disappointing?
No, he's the man. I've met him a couple times throughout the years, and he's always super nice. I mean, I feel like most good artists are that way with people.
Like nice people.
You know, they're thankful for the support of all these people, or they wouldn't have jobs doing what they're doing. You know?
Yeah. But, all right. Yeah. Well, where do we go to check you out, dude?
At Toss and Fire Pizza on all the socials, tossandfirepizza.com, and come visit us in Syracuse.
All right. What's your favorite thing about Expo? That's my last question. Just because these are the Vegas sessions.
I love that. I've made a lot of friends in the pizza industry over the years. One of my really good friends, Sam from Tiki Sam's in Michigan, is here. I get to see him every year at Expo, and just having those conversations, checking out all the different booths. It's, you know, I've come away every year I've been to Expo with something. I remember this was probably when I was we were new, we were 1 or 2 years old, but I had Mike's Hot Honey the first time then, mm-hmm. and brought Mike's Hot Honey to Syracuse, and nobody had Mike's Hot Honey in Syracuse at that time. Now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere else.
It's literally at McDonald's.
It's literally at every, yeah. I was telling someone the other day, I was like, has anyone else noticed that Mike's Hot Honey is literally, I was on a JetBlue flight and they had Mike's Hot mm-hmm. Honey. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It is it is the biggest thing out there right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I always come away with something. I always either a connection, a product, a service, to something. There's always something. Either it's a new item, it's something I've missed, it's been there for years. It's
all right. Well, dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thanks for making the time, and get you back to that table.
My pleasure.